For me, I think once you stop driving and stop getting involved with the sort of the glamour and the sense of power and stuff like that, you see vehicles in a very different light. You know?
Okay.
We've grown up to see vehicles as expressions of who I am. I'm a Saab driver, or I'm a buddy, whatever it is, sort of driver. And I think when you're not driving, you sort of move away from that. And you start seeing them as just a real, you know, a bizarre thing that we've in the last 120 years has foisted upon us as our way of getting on in the world, you know, as people and as communities and things. And, you know, I see a road and I just see this place where we just let people just loose. Uh-huh. You know, we've got a few laws behind them and stuff, but it doesn't matter. These things, you know, these things can go 100 miles an hour and then scream down with people, you know, no matter what state they're in. And one day we're going to be amazed that we ever let people loose in machines like this within our communities, you know, driving between our houses, place where children would like to play or dogs go, you know, and people, you know, and I think it's just... I go downtown Nelson, you know, and the whole of the centre of town is filled with, we call them park cars, but they're dumped cars, you know, car parks. Right. They're not parks. They've got them dumps, you know, they're car dumps. I'm not allowed to leave so much as an empty bottle of Coke on the curb because that's littering. But you can come in there and leave your massive great piece of steel there, no use to man or beast, and it fills up the best part of our town. And it's a tragedy, you know. I think we don't realise we just say, oh, it's a car, it has to be there, you know. It's part, we don't sort of even see them because we're so used to having them there, and we think we've got to. It's my life, it's my God-given right to be able to get a car park exactly where I want to be, you know.
Uh-huh. Because in continental Europe, they're increasingly making the city centres car-free.
Yep.
Pedestrian-friendly, cycle-friendly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if you know from the sort of Nelson looking at just doing the little top of Trafalgar Street, that took a long time and a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with local businesses, local people and stuff about should we, shouldn't we and stuff. Mm. But so you're obviously way on this thing, we should be car-free city centre, we should be...
I think
and it's
so.
The whole car ownership thing as well, presumably.
Yeah, so I got very excited when, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I saw my first video at a conference that Maurice Williamson, who was a minister of tech or something, showed this video about a car, a driverless car going around a racetrack. And, you know, that's just the potential of these things. He sort of started talking about it. And I could see, you know, for a start, for me, mm-hmm. as a functionally blind guy, being able to be independent again. But then the more I think about it, the more you consider it, the more opportunities that it opens. You know, it's just the idea that we go from everybody having to own their own car so they can jump in it and drive it around the place to having autonomous taxis and having vehicles that are in use just about all the time. I mean, say the average guy in Nelson spends $5,000-$10,000 a year on owning their car. You know, depreciation, insurance, having somewhere to park it, you know, sort mm-hmm. of keeping it maintained and all that stuff. And that money, you know, if I said I'm a clever guy, I've got a peanut butter factory, which I turn on, which I use 4% of the time, the rest of the time it just sits there and doesn't do anything. It just goes rusty and out of date.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a great business
model. I'd be losing huge amounts of money, but we're happy to do this with our cars because somehow they're holy. It's a car. I have to have a car. But if cars were available to anyone, you know, that like autonomous taxis, and so you only paid for the use of the car, and you didn't pay for the driver sitting there, and they become in use all the time, so they're used efficiently. The piece of machinery, it doesn't just sit around, you know, going out of date. It's in use all the time, and so the cost of transport goes through the floor, and that money that people haven't currently got tied up in their cars, and they're spending, not their, their money, they're actually spending every year on a car ownership, $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah,
it frees up. Imagine what it could do, you know, within the community. Everybody suddenly gets $5,000 or $10,000 more in their pocket because they don't own cars that are just costing them every year.
So
the other thing you get, I mean, I could go on like this the whole day.
That's all right, we've got three quarters of an hour.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, because I was going to quiz on that one because There is the growth in the sort of among some of the like the car subscription service. So especially in the cities, about and maybe more with the younger generation, where they're renting a car when they need it. Yep. So they're sort of paying for that. They don't pay the maintenance costs. They don't pay the ownership costs. They kind of just pay as you go kind of thing with a car. So it's growing. And that model works great for city dwellers and good transport. But what about those in sort of the rural areas? And because how do they get the? But you're saying, well, it's a kind of thing about ownership as well. It's that the car is part of my identity.
And I think there's, I don't know how we get around that. You know, people, it's going to, I mean, people could just wear fancier clothes or something. But, you know, it's a tragedy because it's so irrelevant to who you are, what sort of car you have. It's just this, I think it's been a huge marketing trick that, you know, this just keeps on going. And you get dissatisfied with your car after it three years. You know, you've had it for 3 years or something. You want to get something new or whatever.
Wouldn't we just transfer that to clothes? That's my individuality.
Buy a fancy watch or something, you know.
Watch clothes, yeah. I suppose in terms of damage to the planet or damage to human beings, then you can't quite level that at clothes and watches as you can with cars. So in terms of the future then, in terms of autonomous driving and summon a car and all that thing, you're obviously highly in favour of that.
Highly in favour of that. And the other aspects of it that I see are really important, really valuable, is the one around safety, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
How many accidents today are caused by mechanical faults, electronic issues, you know, people hacking into traffic lights and things like that, and you know all that stuff. How many problems are caused by that?
Yeah,
accidents?
None it's at not. The moment.
It's just about all human error that causes these accidents. So if you take human error out of the equation, and you have cars driven by machines that have you know got far quicker reactions than we as humans have, you know. I think that's going to make a massive difference to safety. And once it does that, it'll be a no-brainer. You know, that'll just be the end of human-steered vehicles being allowed on public roads.
Yes, I fear you could be right, but I'm kind of fighting against it because I'm one of the ones who likes driving and that.
We'll have clubs for people like
yes. I've kind of got a club for people like me already, so I can do that. So Louis, what's your opinion on this sort of thing? Because you probably quite like your cars. You like driving. You like
I do. And so I'm a late bloomer into cars, you know, and I got right into cars right when Dad started having being vocal about these thoughts about vehicles. And at the time, I played the devil's advocate, but I looked into it, and it's very much so about the possibilities that can come from it. You know, if you look at how wide roads are, you know, roads are tremendously wide. You could fit two Rolls Royces side by side in one lane just because humans like to go left or like to go right. And in Nelson, I actually went through and counted all the car parks, and it's something like more than half of our city are car parks.
Taken up by car park.
You know, and roads. And if you take those away, you got double the real estate, and I think that's the same everywhere. You know, we're spending lots of money on roads, and we're not necessarily future proofing it because I can't argue with it. There's no point. As much as I truly love driving, which seems bizarre to Dad, you can't argue with it. It's a no brainer.